Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And you've got to expose the podcast to some hot chat comedy heat and then leave it to rest for 10 minutes to make sure it's succulent in the middle. Welcome to the Off Menu podcast.
Cowabunga!
I was about to say your name. I don't even need to say your name because you've already introduced yourself with your traditional cowabunga.
Cowabunga, everybody. I hope you're looking after each other and yourselves. Cowabunga, Ed.
Cowabunga to you, James. This is James Acaster and Ed Gamble on the Off Menu podcast. This is a little introduction that we're recording for a very special live streamed episode that we did this week with the wonderful Roisin Conaty, James.
Oh, man. Now, we've already recorded this one. It went out live. And if you saw it, you'll know that technically it was a disaster.
It was a technical disaster. It was a sweaty back nightmare. It made all of the great Benito's hair fall out. He used to have a luscious head of hair, and now he looks like a thug.
Looks like a little thug.
Now, apart from the content of the episode, everything that could go wrong did go wrong. Our guest had some issues signing onto the Skype chat. Then the guest had issues with their internet. Then James Acaster had issues with his internet, so we can hear James on the episode, but on the live stream, we couldn't see James, which was a big disappointment because his facial expressions are a real highlight for the live streamed episodes, I'd say.
Yes, little bonus, isn't it? Because the podcast, you have to imagine what our faces look like. The bonus of it being on YouTube and live stream is that you can see what our faces are doing, but not for me. I've got my lamp ready. I've got my mash crown ready that someone made for me. All went to waste.
And then throughout the episode, we had issues. I don't think Roisin had muted something, so you could hear us talking back through Roisin's computer. She tried to put her headphones on, but her headphones didn't play anything through them. She still had the headphones, sure, even though they didn't do the one function the headphones are supposed to do.
Absolute nightmare. But I think the content was top notch.
It really was. I think Roisin is one of the perfect off-menu guests. We've been waiting to get her on for a long time.
Yep.
I think her choices were great. She had brilliant reasons for all of them. Mm-hmm. You're in for a real treat. It's a very good menu. It's a very funny menu. A lot of great stuff came out of it, and I really hope you can hear all of it, because technically, Benito's done his best. I'm going to put my hands up and say Benito's done his best to sift through the absolute torrent of shit that we put out there. And it's a bonus. I hope you enjoy it. Apologies for the sound issues. I promise that in a few series time, we'll get Roisin back on in a proper recorded environment where we can actually sit her down and have a proper chat. But for now, this can just be a nice little intro. And there was a secret ingredient, James.
There was a secret ingredient. It was carob.
Carob.
Fake chocolate. Fake chocolate. We probably even picked it on a previous episode. I don't know. Do you know what? I hope we did. I hope it just adds to the absolute shambles that this episode is. But also, you said about Great Benito's work very hard. Just bear it in mind while you're listening to this podcast. For every minute or 2 minutes that you listen to, Benito's taken roughly 45 minutes to edit that. So just really bear that in mind, how much sweat and tears he had to put into this before you go tweeting him your little complaints.
It's a bonus. We tried our hardest. It was to raise money for a good cause. It's the Cosmic Shambles Stay at Home Festival. It's to raise money for performers and artists who've lost their livelihood during the coronavirus. You can still drop some money in the jar. Go to cosmicshambles.com/stay at home. Throw some money in the tip jar.
To be honest, actually, don't complain about any of the episodes because they're all free. I mean, for fuck's sake, those of you who do complain, what are you on? Do you get off? You get something for free that no one forced you to listen to, and then you complain about it. So at least with this one, put some money in the jar and help people out who have lost their livelihood.
Right. Well, without further ado, I think we're very much putting off the inevitable. Let's crack on with the off-menu podcast of Roisin Conaty. Welcome. It's a slightly chaotic one. It's going to be very exciting. We've got an amazing special guest. I can't wait to introduce a special guest. Jeannie, fuck off. I've not introduced you yet. No, fuck off. Right. Oh, but what's that lamp sat there? Oh, everyone, rub the screen. Give it a little rub. Rub some of the muck off your screen as well, you dirty buggers. Oh, who's that coming now? Whoa, it's the Jeannie.
Hello, Ed.
It's the Hello, James. How are you, mate?
Very well, thank you. Very excited to be here and to appear out of my lamp, as per usual.
I'm just enjoying the calm after the storm. It's normally traditional to have a calm before the storm. Now this is something that I've seen James getting ready for quite a long time. His Mash King crown. I don't know if anyone watching out there is aware of the lore of the Mash King, but here is the Mash King in all his glory. How many mashers are on the crown, James?
One, two, three, four, five. Five mashers on the crown. Does it fit me? Not really.
I'll be honest, for me, your picture froze about 5 minutes ago, so I've just got you are completely still holding the mash crown in a perfect position. Hopefully for people at home. Good. No, it's frozen for the producers as well. So quite possibly at home, there are people now just watching a frozen picture of you with the mash crown on, which is frozen mash. It's not nice. It's how I'd want to remember you. If this is the last time I ever saw you, it is you completely frozen holding the mash crown.
Well, this is a disaster.
Hopefully you're going to come back to us in picture as well as audio soon, James. But how's lockdown going for you?
Oh, pretty good. Yeah, just hanging out with Jason McKenzie a lot. Mainly just hanging out with Jason McKenzie and talking about our lives and our hopes and our dreams. And it's been real nice actually. Just really getting to know him.
Who are you spending more time with, McKenzie or your girlfriend?
It's pretty evenly split. They get quite jealous of one another, so I have to time it. And like when I'm speaking to one of them, the timer goes off. I'm like, sorry, gotta go, and then I go to the other person and have a chat with them for a bit, set the timer again. Egg timer, of course, because I'm a genie waiter.
James?
Oh, this is an absolute nightmare.
I should probably say now we're doing this for a good cause. This is for the Cosmic Shambles Stay at Home Festival, which is to raise money for performers, artists, and musicians who've lost their livelihood during this damn virus. There should be a link on the video now. You can donate. Please go and put some money in cosmicshambles.com/stay at home. You can also donate. Go and do that now because, quite frankly, there's some performers here who appear to have not only lost their livelihood, they've lost their fucking minds. James, have you pressed the video?
Yes, I pressed the video. It's just not coming up. It's just not doing it. I've never had this before. I've never had this with Skype before, and it's the most amount of effort I've put into the visual element of Skype. I've never been here with a lamp and a mash crown on, and yet completely just nothing's coming up.
Do you think that's why? Do you think you're doing too much and it can't handle it?
Yeah, it just knew. It knew that it mattered, and now look at it. It's an absolute nonsense.
The producers just said, worst case, we can put a still of James up. Right, James, here's what we're going to do. We're going to crack on with the task in hand. This podcast is a food podcast. We interview a special guest about their favourite
starter, main course, dessert, side dish, and drink.
And our special guest this week is Roisin Connerty. Every week we have a special ingredient, and if the special ingredient gets mentioned by our guest, the guest gets removed from the restaurant. Right now, quite frankly, it's like the genie mentioned the special ingredient because he has been removed from the restaurant. Roisin, don't look at the screen. I'm going to hold up a sign of the secret ingredient. So close your eyes.
Okay.
You're good, Roisin. You can open your eyes again now. Right, James, should we crack on?
Yes, let's welcome Roisin Connerty to the Dream Restaurant.
Hey!
Woo! Yeah!
She's here. Roisin, how you doing?
I'm doing so well. I'm so proud of us for ploughing on, because this has been pretty spicy. None of us know how to work spicy. You look like you're in a hostage situation. I don't know what... Are you in a bin? It looks like you're sitting in a bin.
Oh, this. Oh, yeah. I'm Oscar the Grouch.
You can see the top of it. It looks like you're doing a bit and you stood in a bin. And I was like, oh, Ed's in a bin with a tash.
Right. Roisin, welcome to the restaurant. We are going to plough on diligently, like you say. Here we go. So are you... Don't cry, Roisin.
I'm here, mate. This is it.
Roisin, I'll be honest with you, and this will sound mean. If you cry, it'll be hilarious. I don't want you to cry, but it would be the perfect ending to this episode. If you cry, then we'll go offline.
Full sobs. Do you want full sobs? Or just a gentle flow?
Yeah, whatever you think is the most awkward thing to do. Launch into that.
Roisin, it's a question we ask straight away. Are you a foodie?
Yes, I am, proudly, since 1984 or 5 is when I realised that I was in the top tier of foodies.
And what happened in 84, 85 that made you realise that?
I had 5 servings of cake and custard at school dinners.
Was that because Live Aid was on? Live Aid was on in 85, wasn't it?
It was because they had a cake that they hadn't had for a while, and I thought, they're not going to have this for a while, and I went up 4 or 5 times, and I thought, I like food more than other people.
What was the cake? Do you remember what the cake was?
The coconut sponge cake, you know, with the custard.
And the jam on top?
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
That sounds good.
James means that. That's when you hear James being genuinely sincere. It's just, oh, that sounds good. Nothing to follow it up with. No humour. Just, that sounds good. He's imagining the cake.
It made me feel like I'd gone up to him in a hotel bar and told him that story.
So I feel like we should crack on with the menu in hand, James. Yeah. Do you want to kick off the ordering process?
Still all sparkling water, Roisin Connerty.
Oh, sparkling, please.
What? I just thought it would be funnier to leave it.
It's really funny because every time there's a silence, Roisin assumes that the whole thing's gone offline and her eyes panic wildly.
I like sparkling water because I like fizzy drinks, and so I like to get a sparkling water. Sparkling water makes you feel like you're out. I think a water feels a bit sort of you're not getting involved, really. You're just having a water. You're not going to sort of get in. You're not out for a party, you know.
List your top 3 fizzy drinks now.
Coca-Cola is the king of the drinks, and Fanta. And then 7-Up.
Ed, are they all the Coca-Cola company, or have I got that wrong there?
I've got no idea, James. You seem to be more across the corporations than I am. I just buy for the label.
Fanta is the Coca-Cola company. I know that for a fact.
But yeah, I really... So I thought someone... Okay. I thought someone said, I WhatsApped you, but they didn't. It was just someone, one of you guys. So I'm looking at my phone thinking, she's got a load of family there.
Roisin, relax. No one's watching anymore.
No one's watching this.
This is just a chat.
I'm a big fizzy drinker. I've got better. Now I at least have the ones without sugar. But I would say half of my personality is from Coca-Cola. I really notice it when I haven't had it.
Half of your personality?
Yeah, like there's a real drop in sort of verve. I don't have a lot going. If I haven't had a Coca-Cola in a couple of days, it's very flat.
How much Coca-Cola are you drinking on a daily basis?
Listen, is this an intervention?
Yes.
I've got better, but a lot, really. I used to, when I was a kid, I used to buy, you're too young, but they used to sell super, super size Cokes. And I used to drink a whole one of those at lunch, which are like size of like a tenant's beer. It was like 10 or 11. Terrible parents.
What, like a big can? You just, as a kid, just standing there with a massive can. Did you have a rolly as well?
If I could have got my hands on one, I would have. But I remember, and I'd open it at break and have a bit and then put it in my locker and then have the rest of it during the day.
So you drink it flat out of your locker?
In a brown bag, in a brown paper bag.
Because I wasn't allowed Coke, so it would be in a brown bag. You weren't allowed to drink in school.
Did you have your packed lunch in a bindle?
A what? A bindle?
Yeah, that's like a tramp stick, you know, like a cartoon.
Great word. I've never heard that word.
Thanks, you can use it.
Pop it up your bread! Pop it up your bread, Roisin! Pop it up your bread!
Hello? We've got a plow on. I'm sweating. I've got the sweats. Like, I'm on stage and they're going off, off, off. And I'm like, gotta get peed.
James shouted,
Dobbs or bread?
Darts or bread?
Dobbs or bread?
Okay. I'm going to go Poppadoms. They complement. They don't try and gazump.
Nice.
Yep.
They know they're just greeters. They don't try and get into the party. Bread. Bread shows up. Dressed to the nines. It wants in. It causes trouble, but it comes dressed as a friend. I'm sticking with Poppadoms. Thank you.
So you think bread's a bit of a bully. It pretends it's a friend, but really it's just trying to take over your life.
Bread's one of those things. It's like it acts like it's just doing no harm. It's sort of just like, just a bit of bread. They throw it down like, this is bread. What's the big deal? Like a drugs video. And then you're like, you know, 20 bowls into it and you're like, I can't eat anything. It's just, it's terrible. You should not get involved with bread at dinner. It's mad. It's the maddest thing ever. It takes, you know, then you always forget about it. You go, oh, bread, my own friend. And then destroy your food.
And the Poppadom is quite a meek character, would you say?
The Poppadom is, it gets you going. It's not trying to finish you off.
But it presents itself as a course.
Yes.
So it kind of is a bit more open and honest. It's like, look, I look like a meal. I've got my own dips and everything.
Exactly. And it's saying, I'm just here to sort of do this thing. It's not, yeah, it's not trying to pretend it's not there and cause trouble.
Also, the dips are finite. So I always find if I've got a load of Poppadoms and I finish one of the dips, I know I've probably had too many Poppadoms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't deal with the dips. I have my Poppadoms neat.
You go dry, do you?
Yeah. 10 Poppadoms, hold the dips. The dips add a different story. If you're going to say Poppadom with dips or bread, dips add a whole other, you're getting involved in some, you know, you're throwing some texts about, you're getting involved in things. You can't pretend it's an innocent not meal. It's sort of getting into the territory. It's bordering on starter.
But if you're not having dips, your mouth must be arid.
I've got sparkling water and Coca-Cola. Are you listening?
You must be slamming that sparkling water. Just may as well eat an urn full of ashes.
That's what people say about my mouth. She's got a mouth very like an urn full of ashes.
I actually think that's the best justification for Poppadoms we've ever had.
Thank God. Are you just encouraging me because I'm sweating so much with fear?
No, we can't. And also, we can't see the sweat, Roche. Don't worry about it.
Can you tell that I'm sweating, Roche? I'm sweating so much.
I'm James. All I'm thinking of you is a little flying thing. I really like the idea of you flying sort of round, but no one can see you. And it makes me feel comforted.
Yes, well, that's exactly what's happened then. Imagine that, and we'll all feel better. We come to your starter, Roisin, which you hopefully haven't ruined by putting dips with your Poppadoms.
Okay.
What is your dream starter?
My dream starter is very plain.
Mm-hmm.
Halloumi.
On its own?
No! coriander and tomatoes and lemon.
And mango chutney and lime pickle.
And poppadoms.
And poppadoms, yeah. I think it's one of them, it's a starter that you know you can order it. If you're really hungry, it does that thing of going, oh, I probably will eat a starter, and it will just fill you up. But it's tasty, but it's also not going to infect the main meal with a different mood. You've got to protect your moods at dinner. You know, each meal is like a little mood, and you can't just go around acting psychotic. You need to know what mood you're on. Halloumi is a straight down the line starter. It's not I don't like starters that are small versions of a meal. That's not a starter.
I agree.
I'd say that's exactly what a starter is.
A small version of a proper meal?
Mini meal.
No, come on, mate.
Set it straight, Roshi.
Chaos. You can't have pasta as a starter. You can't have meat, really, I would say. You can have a prawn, you can have a bit of cheese, and you can have leaves. And then you have
So you're saying no pasta as a starter, no meat.
No.
What is your problem with Italian people?
They do lovely mains. Okay, you can have, I'll add a caveat, like a smoked meat you can have.
But you're going with, I think halloumi is an excellent choice.
Thank you.
Don't back down with him, Roshi. Don't let him bother you into saying that there are not many meals they are. And that's wrong. It should not be mini meals.
It shouldn't be mini meals. They should not be. They should have their own dance card. They should not come dressed for dinner.
Yes.
Your main issue at the moment seems to be food dressing as other things.
Well, not dressing as other things, but like not being, it's like having its own brand. Like a starter should feel like, oh, that's what you have at a starter. Otherwise it's chaos. Why not have cake for a starter? I mean, I would, but I respect the medium.
So I'm gonna take you to task on this. You're saying halloumi is a starter. I would see it more as a side. I think you're bringing a side in to be your starter.
I think sides and starters, I'm willing to, if we're going to make a deal here, I am willing to speak to my lawyers and say that I think sides and starters can be interchangeable.
So you could have chips as a starter.
Calamari can be both. Your halloumi can be both. Prawns, maybe prawns not both.
She's got you.
They can be interchangeable. And sometimes your best meals are just a whole range of starters and sides, if they are proper starters, as opposed to mini dinners.
I am completely behind halloumi as a starter. How many slices are you having? Because I've never once opened a pack of halloumi and not eaten the whole block.
I think four. I like it to be in the shape of the cross. I like the present. It's very easy to present in a nice way as well if you're making it at home. But in restaurants, it always looks, it's just as safe. There's no, especially when we're gigging and traveling. So I'd have four slices, no more than that. After that, you're going into rubberland.
Rubberland, yeah.
Roisin, when you put the halloumi in the shape of the cross, what hymn do you sing?
I normally,
when you eat your halloumi,
I'll sing. Probably, I can't think, Little Donkey, maybe. Not one of the big ones. Just one of the little ones. Just sort of, so it's all a bit peaceful. But Little Donkey's a good hymn. It's about a donkey.
Yeah.
And it's not too religious either, is it?
No, you don't want to do that while you're eating. That gets really weird and we'll just upset loads of people. So I'm not being like, I blew me the shape of a cross. Don't care, Edgelord. I just mean, I like the shape of a four.
You don't want to start going into Rubberland, do you?
No, not Rubberland. That's the thing. Certain foods, you get, like people, three bits and you're like, they're still good. Fourth bit and you're like, I'm good to go now. They've gone all rubbery.
What? No, I'm lost. I knew what Rubberland meant. And then you said food is like people. You have three bits and it's okay. And then a fourth bit. What people are you having three bits of and then a fourth bit?
Because certain people you can have lots of and you go, it's fine, I could eat them all day, metaphorically. You can build them. And then other people, you're like, oh, they're great, but they're olives. You want to sprinkle them on. You don't want to have them around more than you would have olives. You don't have a bowl of olives. You have a couple. You have a handful. You like olives. You just don't need them full time in your bowl.
Yes, okay.
So I'm going to... I didn't think I'd bring this up this soon. I would say the same for pesto. There's only a certain amount of pesto I could eat spread out in a big bowl of pasta. I certainly couldn't, for example, Roisin, eat pesto out of the jar with a spoon.
You could if you were drunk and you were in Edinburgh and you had no food and you were with a giant man who was bullying you into making a pasta dish that you don't know how to make.
So just for listeners who might not have caught the Greg Davis episode, he ratted Roisin out for eating pesto from the jar with a spoon.
Pair of us, not on my own. It was neat, and it was, and we were listening to Dolly Parton, and it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and we were going to cook. We were living, there was loads of us living in a flat, we were not, you know, and then everyone hadn't come back, and we thought people were going to bring us some food, and they didn't, and then we just set the pesto neat.
The problem is with that is that I don't think there's any story that you can tell that will justify it.
I've had a meal with you, James. Do you remember that time?
Yep. Yeah, we've had a lovely meal, but you didn't pull out a jar of pesto and eat it neat in front of me.
No, but we had no knives and forks, and we ripped fish.
Oh, yes, we did. The first time I met Roisin, yeah, we had a memorable dining experience. We did a gig, and we were staying in the same hotel, and after the gig, we realised we were both starving, and so we went to a fish and chip shop, got fish and chips, got back to the hotel, realised we didn't have any cutlery, so we sat down and just ate it with our bare hands, and it was, I still think, it's probably the greasiest meal I've ever had, and I ate it with my hands. Like, yeah. It was more greasy than most fish and chips.
And hotel is a very complimentary way of saying where we were staying, because bathrooms weren't part, just about the bathrooms weren't part of the rooms. So there was like separate, you had to like share the bathrooms with other residents. They were like little, tiny little dorms. And James is such a gentleman. He said, you know, and there was no windows. They're like cupboards. And James was like, we put it in my room. We ate this stinky fish with our hands. Yeah, I don't eat well in Scotland, even though they have very good food. But yeah, I've had the pesto and the fish and chips were both in Scotland.
How much of the pesto did you eat? How much of the jar did you get through?
It started off, it was like one of those things where we're like, we can't do this. And then it was done. And we don't both sort of remember. We were sort of like, no, we'll have a bite. And then it was sort of like looking for crackers, looking for bread, looking. And then we just, but the worst of it was like, because we're like sort of brother and sister, by the end, it was genuinely like you take a bite, because it was like passing it back to each other and taking a bite, you have a bite, I'll have a bite. So that we both made sure we got our fair share.
I wouldn't consider eating pesto from the jar necessarily. I think there are things you can eat direct from the jar. Peanut butter?
Yes.
Yep.
Nutella?
Yes.
Is there anything else?
There's a YouTube video of a guy eating an entire jar of Nutella. He eats the whole thing in one go, and it's all sped up. And then at the end, he says to the camera, I ate a whole jar of Nutella today. What did you do?
Well, that is reframing a bad thing very well. And I
imagine if Roisin watched that video on the day she ate a jar of pesto. What did you do? Oh, I ate a jar of pesto.
This has no effect on me. I shared a jar of pesto with my friend Greg. We passed it back and forth like a brother and sister.
You know, like the traditional brother and sister thing.
It is a tradition, that sort of thing where it's like, we both knew it was disgusting, but we were so hungry. It was Edinburgh. We were emotionally bereft. It was late. Rod Gilbert hadn't brought us back chips like he said he would. We were just sad. And we just had to eat what was there. But it's, I mean, it was pretty dark to wake up the next day. And I think it was like Lloyd Langford, like, if anyone see the pesto? We're like...
Well, that reflects badly on Lloyd that he woke up and his first thought in the morning was, where's the pesto?
I think I've had more conversations with Lloyd saying, is there bacon? Where's bacon? Than any other thing I've ever spoken about. At one point, I think he was like being sponsored. It was he likes bacon more than anyone I've ever known.
Oh, he's just very disrespectful to the police. And just kept on saying it to you when you're out and about. Do you smell bacon, Roisin?
I always smell bacon.
Halloumi is your starter. Your main course is
roast chicken.
I thought for a second there, when you said roast, when you were halfway through saying roast, I thought you were just going to say your own name as the main course.
I eat myself. Won't you know, roast chicken. I mean, it's the best dish of all the dishes. because you can take it anywhere. If you want to take a roast chicken out in winter, you put some potatoes around it. You want to take it out in the summer, you put some coleslaw, you put some green salad around it. A roast chicken is a friend.
When you say you want to take it out, do you mean like out and about?
Not out. Not hitting the clubs. That is the only place not to order a roast chicken is in the clubs. But it's a sort of wherever you are in the world, especially if you just need your food to be like, I need to have a nice meal. I think a roast chicken is, it's very tasty, but it also, it you can create 1,000 meals from it. And so that's my favourite of all the, I'll always try and build from the roast chicken.
Okay, well, let's...
I would definitely order roast chicken in a club.
Why?
If it was available. Imagine standing in the middle of the dance floor and everyone else has got, like, a gin and tonic and stuff, and then a waiter brings you a full roast chicken.
My friend saw her first boyfriend recently, and he was eating a whole chicken in the street, but talking to him, but eating a chicken like he was... Like he was sipping a drink. So he was like, have you been? Yeah, have you been? Seeing his chicken. And he was dressed and I thought, yeah, I suppose, how much meat can you hold in the street? Like, you can eat a wing, maybe. Same with fruit. I went mango in the street and I got a lot of looks. Like people were like, whoa, whoa, do you think you're eating an apple? It's like mango. You can't eat that. A whole chicken in the street. I would have loved to have seen that.
That's when you realise you made the right decision about the relationship, when you see them eating a roast chicken in the middle of the street like a king.
Yeah. He was on a holiday with us once where I was in Corfu, and this is a food story, I haven't gone mad, and I was in, was it Corfu? And this guy came to the table, the waiter, it was very nice, we went to this restaurant every night, and then Kefalonia, we were in Kefalonia, and then he said, you haven't had Kefalonia pie, you haven't had my pie, my mum makes it every night, and I was like, oh. And then he was like, oh my God, he said, it's the best, it's the greatest pie, like, it's the greatest thing you'll eat. And he had not let me down. I'd been there for 2 weeks, not a bad meal. He came out, I go with a pie. I think, well, why not? And what he puts in front of me, I'm not that fussy eater. Like, I'll sort of give anything a go, bar bread and butter pudding, we'll get to that. But, like, I put it in my mouth and every part of my body went into, like, no! Like, I can't swallow it, I can't do... And my friend Kim was so, she was like... Because we had met, she was like, you better eat that pie. And I was like, his mum's made it. So it's like row at the table about me and the pie, about what I was going to do. And because they put me under so much stress, I had to tip it into my new handbag. Yeah, that was my worst food thing.
What was in the pie? Can you remember?
It was horror. Like, and it was just the... It was the worst thing I'd ever... But it was just jazz, but not good. It was like really bad. Like my brain was not, it was danger. I ate danger. I knew it was dangerous. Whatever it was.
What did you do with your bag afterwards?
I just put it out there to give it to these cats. They're all the Kefalonia cats on the way home, like spilling this pie out of the bag. But the worst one, me having to compliment him, he was like, you like the pie? And then he taught me more about it. It was really awful.
I bet it completely ruined the roast chicken you brought out with you.
Yeah.
I love a roast chicken. You won't get a better, you can't beat a roast chicken. And if you feel down, cook a roast chicken.
I've been doing a lot of lockdown roast chickens.
They're great. If you're not veggie, roast chicken, some potatoes, it's nice. It's a nice meal.
Guess how many chickens Ed had at one point during lockdown?
How many chickens have you had during lockdown, Ed?
They had at any one time. At one point, just guess how many chickens he had.
It's a difficult guess because I'll tell the story in a sec.
I'm going to say 3.
That would be a lot, wouldn't it? That would be too much, I think, 3 would. Just say the number first, Ed, and then tell the story.
No, because it's not in whole chickens, is it? So I'm going to have to...
Add up the parts.
So what happened was I was using a food delivery service that normally deliver to restaurants but have pivoted to delivering to houses during the lockdown. So I thought, great. The problem is... It's still the way I navigated it wasn't ideal, and I didn't look at a lot of the descriptions for what I was ordering. I just saw chicken and pressed order, and I accidentally ordered 5 kilograms of chicken thighs.
Oh my God! Wow.
The problem is they also brought 12 chicken supremes and a whole chicken. the guy looked so confused as well, because you have to put in a restaurant name because that's part of the app. So it just said Ed's Place on the box.
Oh my God. How much have you eaten?
Well, I put a lot in the freezer, and we had two friends who live nearby during their government sanctioned walk, walked past the front path, and I left them a big bag of chicken.
Oh God. Didn't know that bit. I didn't know that little detail.
Yeah, but I'm not going to keep all that. I don't need all that chicken. Other people needed the chicken, so I needed to get rid of the chicken.
Oh, good and, you on know, you.
You can't go out, so I can't take a roast chicken out, can I?
No. It's very nice of you. Don't get me wrong, but what a thing to see. if anyone saw that,
just a bag of chicken.
Yeah, I felt like I was doing a drug deal.
Yeah, like a really weird. I suppose that's if it carries on like this, that will be the kind of deals we're doing. Like, I'll bring you a whip for a spud sort of thing.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you're up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but yes. My wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Roast chicken is your main.
Yeah.
And Ed argues a side dish for your starter. So what is your actual side dish with this roast chicken?
Okay. So in the winter, up to April, I'm going to go roast potatoes, red cabbage, broccoli, very traditional, and really great gravy, like a red wine gravy. After April, you want all the salads. You don't want to commit to anyone. You want all of them around the plates. It's just a load of colour, but the king is still the roast chicken. Everyone else is just a guest that he's playing.
So I like that you're dividing your side dishes by the tax year.
Yeah, of course. Everyone's got to pay their tax.
when you say all the salads, can you start listing them, please?
Okay, so I'm going to, first of all, can we do a Greek salad? Is a safe intro salad for people not familiar with a salad. you sort of leaves, red onion, olives, Then I'm going to go like a red cabbage coleslaw, like the one you get in kebab shops, which they should sell in shops and they don't. And it's infuriating. It's a lovely, lovely dish.
Do you get the juicy pepper with that? Do you get the ones where you get the light green ones?
They're so good. I'd have some of that. I'd have some potato salad. That's the 80s, but I'd have it there as an option. And I'd have like avocado, pineapple pesto salad. I'm very sweet corn. I'd have like a Tex-Mex salad. You should make it all so you can have like five different sort of meals based off that one chicken.
What you've done here is you've lulled it into a false sense of security because your starter's been halloumi, simple. Main course, roast chicken, simple. Side dish, 1,000 different things.
If it's one side dish, if you want me to go one, I'm going to say roast potatoes. I think roast chicken and roast potatoes is the most comforting of foods. And it is like, it levels you out. It's the tea of food.
Oh, man.
Brilliant. If someone said to me, a podcast guest in the future will say roast chicken and roast potatoes is the tea of food. In one guest, I'd say Roisin Conaty.
Yep.
Thank you.
That's definitely what Roisin would say.
That's the brand.
I did roast potatoes for the first time the other day.
What? James, you're 40.
Yeah, I'd never made them before.
You never had them or you never made them?
Oh, I had them.
Oh, my God.
Imagine if he'd never had roast potatoes. What a
machine. I've had the tea of food before, but, like, I hadn't made them before.
Oh, I see. And how did you do? What was your technique?
So I followed a thing I found online, and I boiled them first so they were soft but not done. Then I put them in the pan with, or took them in the tray with olive oil, salt and pepper, squashed them all, then put them in.
No one was expecting that.
Look at Roisin's face. That face was bad.
Because I tell you what, me and Roisin were thinking you were going down the standard route. Parboil, shake them a little bit in the pan.
Yeah.
In hot fat, whack them in the oven. Yes. No one was expecting the squash.
No. Like a rage cook. Halfway through, you decided they needed to be taught a lesson. Squash them, kick the shit out of the cooker, put them on.
Yeah.
Why did you squash them, mate?
It said to do it. So if you squash them all, they get crispier. You get more crispy bits because they get all... So it squashes them. Then the outside, there was more crispy stuff, little bits of crispiness. And they were very nice like that.
Was this recipe from the Incredible Hulk's website?
Yes.
Were they like potato cakes then, like flat?
No. I didn't go mad. You just give them a little squash with a spatula.
Right.
You push down on them, so you squash them all a little bit. So they're like bursting at the seams, but not smashed. So they look like they're kind of like puffing out their jackets a bit. And then you put them in, and then roast them up.
Once the mash king, always the mash king.
Yeah, I've got to mash them.
Yeah, what's happened here is you've not made roast potatoes. You've made flat, hot mash.
Yeah.
Did you turn them when you were cooking them?
No.
Ooh, interesting.
It's not interesting. It's fucking rubbish.
Didn't know that was that was a rule. I mean, halfway through, I put the broccoli in with them.
You put your parsnips and your carrots in the broccoli.
No, just chuck the broccoli in. And I looked up at best work. We had some broccoli and ended using up. And I was like, Mackenzie, give me my phone. And I had a little look, and it said roasted broccoli, had a nice recipe for it. So I put it in with it. I tossed the broccoli when it was still raw with like olive oil and lemon juice and salt. Then I put it in the same tray as the potatoes. And when it came out, I put the broccoli in a separate bowl and covered it in Parmesan and pepper and tossed it around in there. And that was very nice. And also, I should add that just before my squashed roast potatoes were done, I chucked some chopped up spring onions on top of them.
Ooh, so, nice.
James, I'm sold on the squashed roast potatoes and the roast broccoli. Sounds genuinely nice. Don't forget, we're doing this for Cosmic Shambles Stay at Home Festival. It's to raise money for performers and artists who have lost their livelihood during this difficult time. If you go to cosmicshambles.com/stay at home, you can leave a tip in the jar, and there should be a link on the video that you're watching now as well. We would love you to chuck in a little bit, and that will go to some people who really need it. Now, let's crack on with the menu.
We're coming to your drink now. You said you liked fizzy drinks earlier.
Yeah.
I'm going to crack open one of my own. Can you hear that?
It gives me a feeling, that noise. Like, it's visceral. Like, it's like the smell of the cinema. I'm like, oh, someone's got a fizzy drink. Love it.
This is my favourite fizzy drink.
What is it?
My girlfriend ordered it for me the other day as a surprise. I'm extremely excited. 24 cans of it. Corston Press. Are you familiar with Corston Press?
Yes, lovely.
Rhubarb, Corston Press.
Not rhubarb, no.
Yep, the rhubarb one's my favourite.
I hate rhubarb.
Oh, when I die, bury me with Corston Press.
Corston Press is lovely. I like the apple rhubarb. My mum, for my whole life, makes rhubarb crumble and then pretends that we've not had the conversation where I told her I don't like rhubarb. It's really, it's really dark, actually.
What have you got against rhubarb, mate?
It tastes awful. It's like a bitter, poison stick. It's disgusting. It has no bliss point. No one can enjoy that. It's a vegetable disguised as something. It's horrible. I hate it.
You are so suspicious of food dressing up as other things yet again.
Yes, it's awful. And in a crumble, it is dressed up. It looks innocent. If, oh, apple crumble. And then you get into this, like, swamp food, this disgusting, hellscape taste. You're just like, ah!
Does it creep you out that it makes a sound when it grows?
I knew there was something wrong with it. It makes a sound when it grows.
So they force grow rhubarb.
They force grow it. What a being. No wonder it's in a foul mood.
They grow it in the dark, so it grows quicker because it's growing to try and find the light, but there is no light for it to find. And it's growing so quickly that if you listen to it when it's growing indoors, it's creaking. You can hear it. That's how quickly it's growing.
That's the saddest thing I've heard in a while. I've got PMT and that has broken me. That is a horror story.
I'm strolling down to the orchard via the rhubarb patch. Open a can of Corston Press, pour it down the hatch.
I can't believe poor rhubarb. What a tale. And I'm judging it for not being a nice god. You never know people's stories.
I like it. I'm drinking it down and I love it.
I really like Corston Press. They could do with a few more bubbles.
No, I like the fact there's not many bubbles in it, and I love the rhubarb taste. When I die, bury me with Corston Press.
James had a beer before we started recording. He's the only person I know who's whimsical enough to drink a full beer and then go back to soft fizzy drinks.
I love Corston Press, Ed. I love it. We're not even being sponsored by it. They haven't sent us any freebies. I love Corston Press so much. This is not the first time I've sung these songs. I sing them around the flat all the time. I love it.
Your drink, Roshi.
My drink would be, because I don't drink alcohol anymore. So that's all changed. So I'm probably, if I'm trying not to look like a child and it's a very posh restaurant, I'll order something like, elderflower, soda water and elderflower. Sort of thing. I've got hair in my eye. Damn it. If I'm with my real friends, I'm going to go, I'll probably order a couple of drinks, like a Coca-Cola, sparkling water and lime, and a tap water. I like three in front of me at all times.
A flight.
Yeah, exactly. I like a little selection of drinks, a mezze of drinks.
I think we can let you have three soft drinks if you're not having alcohol. I think you can have a flight of softies.
Perfect for me, because then, you know, and then I can sort of mix around them with the courses and work out what goes with what.
So what are you going for? Coke, Sprite and Fanta?
Coke,
Sprite,
elderflower and like a water, just a straight water. If I could see, it'd be easier. Hold on, let me just... Sorry. Bad number, can't see James. But yeah, kind of just straight. What's it, the weirdest? I might go for, occasionally I'll go for, a non-alcoholic beer as well. I've discovered those lately. They're quite good if you don't want to get into a conversation about not drinking. People just think you're drunk because I talk so fast.
So suddenly, a drink disguised as another drink is okay in your book, is it?
Oh, he got you. He's got you now.
I got you. I've been waiting and I got you.
Yes, I think that's my only one. Not only one, but yeah, having a non-alcoholic beer, I think sometimes if you're out and it just eases everyone else around you if you're not drinking, it just makes everyone like, rather than saying, you're not drinking.
Carsten Press. You ask me if I want word, I'll say yes.
James, you could really do some jingles.
Yeah, I could do some jingles. I'm trying to use this for that at the moment. Hopefully, I'm going to get some jingle work off the back.
You could do really great jingle work. Is that what it's called, jingle work?
Yes. Yeah, I think it's called jingle work. Yeah.
James, if we threw some product at you now, do you think you could come up with jingles straight off the bat?
Well, it depends. I could try to, yeah. But, you know, bearing in mind, I love Causton Press, so that's how I'm able to
but
do
what
it.
What about bats? Because they've had a really bad press because of everything. So bats. If you have to bats. Read, you have to do bats. How are you going to make bats back?
It's flying in the air. It's a little bad. It's a skinny little bat. It is not bad. It landed on my shoulder. It told me a secret. It said, I'm a nice bat. Come to my house. So we went to his house. And what was in the house? It was a lovely mouse. It was married to a mouse. Bats and mice. That is very nice. And they had some babies and they were called Bice.
Oh, that was great.
Really good, actually.
Yeah. I really like that he lived with a mouse because my big television idea...
Bearing in mind you have a very successful sitcom already, Roisin, this is your big television idea.
It's called Animals Meeting Animals. And it's just animals who wouldn't have met other animals.
Yeah.
And we just watch them meet. 4 hours on a Sunday if you're hungover and you just watch a horse meet an owl, you watch a donkey meet a fish, you just watch and you bring them to places that they wouldn't have met. And a mouse meeting a bat. Yes, I want to get up for that, thanks.
A donkey meeting a fish.
No, maybe not a fish, but like a dolphin.
Also, you gave examples of animals that could quite possibly meet. A horse meeting an owl, that completely makes sense.
Being in the same, meeting each other probably. Okay, a rabbit meeting a goat. But like meeting each other.
That's still going to happen.
A bear meeting a bear meeting a sheep.
Yeah, sheep's dead. The end of that episode is that the sheep is absolutely dead and the bear has destroyed it.
The problem why I haven't actually made this show is because of the death.
You're gonna have a bunch of dolphins pushing around a donkey corpse in the water, just passing a donkey between themselves as it floats slowly on the top of the surface.
A tiger meeting a tiger. I feel like I've gone into a pitch meeting. It's gone really bad.
Yeah. Well, you stop naming predators. Stop going a tiger. Learn from the bear thing.
Okay, a bear.
No, not a bear.
Okay. A rabbit meeting a lamb.
That sounds nice.
Right?
That sounds nice, yeah.
But they could meet in a field, though.
Yeah, but you haven't seen it. I haven't seen it. I presume they do meet. I'm just saying, let's capture this. Let's see them meet and see them going. I just want to see the first time a lamb's like, what's that?
Would you do a voiceover for it?
Oh, yeah, free. Yeah. As long as I could be there for the big guns, you know, like for your heavyweight animals meeting each other, like a bear meeting, I'm obsessed with bears, a gorilla and a bear. Oh, my God, they've never met.
Oh, no. Yeah, but that'd be a horrible fight.
No, you don't let them fight.
They would fight.
You put a thing in between them, but you just set them see each other. A glass room, a glass wall. And then you see the gorilla go like, you look sort of hard, but you're not a gorilla. And a bear's like, what is with this guy?
But wouldn't they both just start smacking the glass and like beating their paws and fists to a bloody pulp?
Well, it's better than EastEnders. I'd watch that all day.
So, Roisin, your idea for a TV show is a zoo.
No, not a zoo. They only meet for a minute. They meet for a little bit. It's a meet and greet. And then they're back to their respective homes. There's no living there. They have to just meet quickly, say hello. A lamb meeting a gorilla.
No, the lamb's dead.
This is Tom. Tom is a 17-year-old gorilla. This is Lucy. She's a 3-week-old lamb. This is Tom seeing her. Oh, Tom's running towards her. Cut. That's it.
James, can you do the theme music for this show?
Yep. Tom and Lissy, they are getting busy. Tom is a gorilla and Lissy's a missy little lamb. They're in a field, Tom won't yield, and Lissy is dead. And we come to your dessert, my favourite course.
This might be spicy.
Uh-oh. I will have no problem shutting my laptop if you say what I think you're going to say.
A cup of tea and a Kit Kat.
A cup of tea and a Kit Kat? I'm fine with that. I'll let that happen.
A cup of tea, it's the roast chicken of drinks.
It is. And sometimes at dinner, you have a lovely meal, and then you think, now I've got to go into the whole other world of desserts. Mm. I love a dessert, don't get me wrong. But sometimes at dinner, really nice, a lovely meal, and you think, you know what I really would like? A cup of tea and a Kit Kat. Or like a bowl of tea, so they make it look like something new, and like Kit Kats bits around the side. That's what you want, a cup of tea and a Kit Kat.
What kind of Kit Kat is it?
Your traditional four fingers, but maybe give a six, because you know you like to feel a bit sick after dessert to know that, because you're going to pay £7 for it and you know how much a Kit Kat costs. I think about it a lot. Why can't I just get a Kit Kat now?
Where do you stand on the Kit Kat chunky? Because I would argue it is superior to the Kit Kat.
No, it's fine. It's good. It's a fine bar of chocolate. But the Kit Kat itself is, I think it's a perfect sort of sweet thing. You don't add any more to it. It's brilliant. It's a perfect thing. And especially the way it, when you add it with a tea, you know, when you I think with tea it's the nicest dessert. It's such a comforting dessert. Oh, that's exactly what I need. I don't need a massive cake or a bowl of ice cream or whatever.
Are you dipping it in your tea, or are you taking a bite of the Kit Kat then a swig of the tea, or a swig of the tea and then you're putting the Kit Kat in somehow?
Imagine that. No, don't do that, Roche.
Too late. Did it. Someone's already made a meme out of it.
I'm going to dip, I think, put the Kit Kat in. Also, I quite like, because it makes me feel very decadent, putting the whole four fingers in the cup and then just biting it.
Wow, so you don't break off the Kit Kat finger by finger. You just bite it like a big, like you're biting someone's hand.
Say I was in a work thing, or say I was like in a normal with people, I'd eat the Kit Kat. If I'm treating it as a dessert, I'll eat it like a cake. So I'll dip the four fingers in and then bite it.
Nothing but respect for that.
Thank you.
Absolutely. The best way to eat a Kit Kat, in my opinion, a four-finger Kit Kat, is just to eat it like one slab and bite it like that across the different fingers. It's great.
You feel like a king. You feel like, look at me. Ooh.
Yeah.
I went through a real phase of Kit Kats on trains, getting them from the train buffet car, and they keep them in the fridge. And I was normally hungover for some reason. I'd be traveling back from a gig or traveling back from uni or something, and they kept them in the fridge. And a cold four-finger Kit Kat is the perfect hangover cure.
I like room temperature chocolate.
Okay. Interesting.
I'm not against room temperature chocolate, but a cold dairy milk or a cold Kit Kat, I'd argue, is better than a room temp dairy milk.
Yeah, got a side of red on this one.
I think a cold dairy milk, potentially. But other than, I think sometimes it takes too long for the flavour to melt. Whereas when it's room temperature, you get the chocolate hit straight away. And I'm all about getting as much of the hit.
Now, Roisin, I need to bring this up. I've been getting into it during lockdown. Have you ever had a Tony's Choco Lonely Bar?
No. What is it?
It's the best
chocolate on the market. I ordered every flavour the other day and it came in a big box. I've gone through them in a week. The other day I was eating some Tony's Choco Lonely and out loud with a mouthful said, I don't know how they do it.
Where do you get this?
The internet.
You know what else you can get on the internet?
Go on.
Carsten Press. I drink it down and it gets rid of my stress.
Tony's Choco Lonely is the best chocolate on the market.
What does it consist of? What's it doing? What's its vibes?
So it's very chunky. You break it off. It's not in regular squares. It's all like crazy paving. So you just snap it off and you might get a big bit, you might get a small bit. But they do an amazing milk one, they do a good dark one, but they do a salted pretzel one. They do a salted caramel one. They do a honey almond one. It is phenomenal.
Ed, I've got to be honest with you, right? You've brought this up on a text group that we're on.
Yeah.
And you and a couple of members of the text group were waxing lyrical about Tony's Choco Lonely and how much you love it.
It's the best.
And I was suspiciously silent during it because although I like Tony's Choco Lonely, I do not get why you're all so excited about it. For me, it doesn't really stand apart from the others. I hate to say it because I do like eating it and I don't want them to think I don't like their product because I do. But you're like Road to Damascus.
Yeah, I'm evangelical about Tony's Choco Lonely. I think it is the best chocolate out there. It's better than anything.
Oh,
and
man.
I'm sorry, James, it's better than Whittaker's.
Whittaker what?
Right, well, both of those responses make me want to shut my laptop. I cannot believe that Ed said it in the first place. I can't believe that Roisin doesn't know what Whittaker's is. Whittaker's is the best chocolate in the world, Roisin. It's from New Zealand.
Too soft.
It's absolutely delicious. Every single type of Whittaker's makes me head over heels in love with chocolate all over again. But it is very different to I guess you're either a Whittaker's boy or a chocolate-lonely-aholic, right? Because like they're very different chocolates.
I like Whittaker's, but it's a softer thing.
Yes, it's softer. Yes, chocolate lonely is solid.
They both sound great. I'm going to order both of them. I'm a big. I've got. I like chocolate is a real friend.
Yeah. What did you think of all the different flavour Kit Kats that came out over the years? Mint, orange, the peanut chunky. All those ones.
The orange was good. The orange is actually a good move, but the rest I just felt that I think a lot of chocolate now isn't as good as the stuff. Oh my god, it makes you sound mad, but like invented, like they haven't messed with the Kit Kat. Like so many other chocolate bars taste different because they've had to like take sugar down or, you know, because they're making them smaller, and it just feels like they're I don't know, it's not right. Same with like crisps, you know, they just don't taste. Sometimes you're like, oh, they've taken all the salt out, like it just doesn't taste like what it did. But Kit Kats just feel timeless, but the newer versions of them taste a bit, I don't know, a bit more synthetic. I mean, I'll eat them. I'll eat whatever's there. I'll eat any old chocolate.
Hey, I think that's a great dessert. I think restaurants are genuinely missing a trick by not offering that as a combo. I think you're right.
Oh my God, I'm so pleased. Oh,
we've not asked any questions about the cup of tea. We've asked all our questions about the Kit Kat.
Yes.
We've not asked any questions about the cup of tea and how you're having that. Because you're the first person, I think, on the podcast who has actually chosen a cup of tea correctly, if I'm wrong, Ed.
It's a huge part of the dessert. I think it tells you that it's time for feeding time is over. Tea, I am. So if I was making tea, I tea bag, hot water. And the main thing for me is you keep it moving. You don't leave tea sitting there. You keep it moving. Then you don't have any weird tanning, but you have to keep it moving so it's not brittle and you don't get any weird, but it needs to be strong. And then you put the milk in. Everything else off, you don't put milk in to, it's madness that the tea needs hot water. You don't put milk in first. It's wild.
Yes.
So you just but the main thing I see is people leaving it brew, and tea doesn't brew, it just sort of stagnates. You have to keep it fresh, keep it moving the whole time. So I like it like I'm funny about cups, so I'd have it in. Okay, we're doing it. A thin rimmed mug.
Uh-huh.
I like the tea to be thick, but the cup to be thin.
Yeah.
Quite hot but not burning, and a good tea bag, like a Yorkshire tea bag. Not PG tips, sorry, PG tips. And I'd also, a friend of mine, she told me that she has got a pint cup because she always wants more tea than she makes in the morning. So this is the only thing I'm going to get. And she has that because she's like, of course, you want more tea than a cup of tea in the morning. You want a pint of tea. And so that's the thing I'm looking into at the moment.
Yeah, of course you are. After your, whatever your Coca-Cola tenants cans you used to have. So now you want a pint of tea. Of course you do.
Why don't we have pints of tea? Why? Yeah. We made pots. We go, let's have a pot of tea. And you go, we could just have bigger cups like we did with the beer.
Now, I'm probably going to upset some more listeners like when I said I didn't like Yorkshire puddings. I don't like tea.
Whoa.
Okay.
I don't drink it. If someone said, here's your only drink you can have, and it was a cup of tea, I'd be like, fine, I'll have it. But I don't drink it. I couldn't tell you the last time I had a cup of tea.
So what do you have in the morning then? How do you know you're alive?
Coffee.
Coffee is too aggressive a wake up. It's not. Tea is, Roche, wake up, Roche, wake up. Coffee is, fuck out of bed.
Yeah, that's what I need. I need every single nerve in my body tingling, and I need to be doing a horrible shit within an hour of being awake.
Then you should have a tea. You should have a tea first, and then it just gives you a little bit of a gentle, it's a gentle sort of start. It says, you ready for a coffee? I'll have a coffee now. I had it in my bottle. It's really awful. No wonder I'm half mad. But my mum, we were in Ireland a few years ago. My cousin had a baby. And mum was like, do you want to put tea? In the baby's bottle? And we're all, which was like, she was like, oh, we all did. And you know, the 80s, everyone just said, I was like, I had tea in my bottle. I was like, you've explained so much. So it's a very.
What's the thinking behind giving a baby a cup of tea?
What can go wrong with a hot, milky, caffeined up baby?
Do you know what my mum and dad used to put in my baby bottle?
Oh, yeah. What?
Carsten Press. I'm a little baby and I drink it from the breast.
Hang on, you said it was from the bottle. Are you now suggesting that your mum could produce Carsten Press?
That's why I love it so much. Yeah, clearly. Yep. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh no. Well, I'm gonna get a horrible text soon about that.
I'm going to get one about the tea. It was people smoked in the hospitals. I don't know why I'm getting about that.
They used to put your mum in the dark, didn't they? And if you opened the door, you could hear her creaking.
I can't tell a lie. That's what happened. I'm going to read your order back to you now, Roisin. See how you feel about it. Okay. You said you would like sparkling water. Then poppadoms with none of the dips. You'd like halloumi with some coriander and tomatoes as your starter. Your main course is roast chicken. Your side dish is roast potatoes. Your drink was a flight of soft drinks. And your dessert, cup of tea and a Kit Kat. How are you feeling about that?
I think it makes me sound like I've never eaten in a restaurant. I think it sounds like I'm just trying to guess what I would get in a restaurant. I'm like, a Kit Kat and a tea and a bowl. it sounds like the menu that someone who's pretending to be a human has gone, I imagine this is pretty fancy. So many things. It doesn't sound like someone who's traveled a lot. Be very upset with that meal, if I'm honest.
And if you like, we could serve the tea in a baby bottle.
Oh, I mean, that is a whole other thing for restaurants anyway. Why don't they do that? They serve all the other stuff, the weird stuff.
Roisin, that was a brilliant menu. Thank you so much for coming to the Dream Restaurant. We've had a lot of fun, and hopefully everyone at home enjoyed it despite technical issues.
Thank you so much for having me, and it was a real treat. It was really nice to see you guys. You're not down here, you James, even though I know that you're your little Tinkerbell, James, flying around, drinking your coffee.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Well, there we have it, the off-menu menu of Roisin Conaty. I hope you enjoyed it despite technical hitches and sound issues. We tried our hardest, Benito worked his damnedest, and I think it was a good menu and a good episode in the end, James.
Yeah, do you know what? We made the best of a bad situation. Everyone really pulled together, spirit of the Blitz. I think it was a good episode. I think it was the best episode we've ever done.
James has called it best ep ever. I actually think roast chicken being the tea of food is one of my favourite descriptions of a dish ever.
Absolutely. I mean, as you said, at some point it was like we really were talking to an alien who didn't know what food was.
A marvellous episode. And James calling someone else an alien, despite having an alien-like aura about him, and also saying he cooked roast potatoes for the first time and squashed them. So,
well, I mean, a lot of people have stuck up for me about that.
How do you know?
My mum texted me and told me that you guys do not know what you're talking about.
So thank you very much for listening. Roisin did not say carob.
Well done, Roisin. Although she might have said it and we just didn't pick it up because of the poor connection. Yeah, it might have been with every single course.
It might have been roast chicken and carob and it just cut out just at that point. Yeah. So get out the restaurant then. Thank you for listening. If you want to donate some more money, chuck a tip in the jar if you enjoyed it. Even if you just want to stick a quid in if you can, that would be great. Go to cosmicshambles.com/stay-at-home. We'll be back next Wednesday with another regular episode recorded in a studio environment and edited, and you can hear it.
Yes.
Goodbye.
Farewell.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast is coming out. Oh no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.